Good morning. This is David Jackson with the CBS World News Roundup. President Reagan travels to Capitol Hill this evening for an economics address to a joint session of Congress that can be heard live on many of the CBS radio network stations at 9 Eastern Time. White House correspondent Bill Plant reports that it's likely to be quite an event.
The president's first major appearance tonight since the attempt on his life is almost certain to be an emotionally charged moment. Members of Congress learned from their constituents during this past two-week recess what the polls are also showing, that Mr. Reagan is more popular than ever since he survived his bullet wound. So tonight's business, when the cheering stops, is to translate some of that popularity into votes. Mr. Reagan will tell Congress and the nation that he was elected on his promise of economic change, that it hasn't happened yet, and that now is the time for Congress to act. The White House is very confident of the upcoming vote in the Senate Budget Committee, where Mr. Reagan's package was rejected with the help of three Republicans several weeks ago. But administration headcounters describe themselves as being more concerned over the budget vote in the House, though one admitted privately yesterday we're poor-mouthing just a bit. In fact, while they are reasonably certain of getting their budget cuts, the White House is less sure of the tax bill a month or two down the road. Bill Plant, CBS News, the White House.
Up on Capitol Hill, the Democrats are now saying they will fight for their budget ideas, despite what you may have heard. Phil Jones has that story.
The House Democratic leadership is doing its best today to undo what some Democrats think is real political damage done yesterday by Speaker Thomas O'Neill. O'Neill all but conceded the budget battle to President Reagan, the Speaker saying he knew when to fight and when not to fight. But this morning, in an interview with CBS News, Majority Whip Congressman Thomas Foley did his best to say that Democrats are still fighting for their plan, which provides more for social spending and less for defense.
We believe that the committee program is better than the administration's original request. We're likely to get the president's objectives, more equitable and less inflationary, with a lower deficit, and as I say, more likely to achieve the goals we all share, that we have to control federal spending, and we have to give people a chance to save and invest.
Democrats concede that President Reagan's appearance before Congress tonight will be an emotional event because it is the first trip to the Hill since the assassination attempt. But they argue this emotion will not get in the way of the issues and that there is no way the president will get his three-year tax cut. Phil Jones, CBS News, Capitol Hill.
Congressional moves toward legislating trade barriers limiting Japanese auto imports reportedly have triggered frantic behind-the-scenes activity in Tokyo aimed at coming up with an acceptable alternative, some sort of voluntary restraint. Japan's Prime Minister Suzuki told American reporters this morning that by the time of his visit to Washington next month, the issue will be resolved happily. He didn't say how. The string of Atlanta murders of young blacks has become a little longer. Another name has been added to the list of cases being investigated by the city's special task force. Bruce Hall reports.
Authorities said they suspected moments after they arrived on the scene that they had the 26th victim on their hands in the long series of murdered young blacks in Atlanta. The body of 21-year-old Jimmy Payne was found in the Chattahoochee River about 10 miles west of Atlanta. Six of the past seven victims have been found in a river, and this body, like most of the recent ones recovered, was clad only in undershorts. The medical examiner will conduct an autopsy later today to determine the cause of death, but there were no apparent marks on the body. Public Safety Commissioner Lee Brown says the case has already been turned over to the Special Task Force. Payne had been missing since last Wednesday, but his case had not been turned over to the task force. This is the sixth body that has been discovered in the past month, which is the highest number of victims that have been found in any 30-day period since these baffling cases began in July 1979. Bruce Hall, CBS News, Atlanta.
The United States continues increasing pressure on El Salvador to solve the murders last year of four American churchwomen. Now, there's another American missing there, a priest. And in San Salvador, Charles Krause has the story.
Father Roy Bourgeois was in El Salvador working as an interpreter for a news team from WBBM-TV Chicago. He was last seen Sunday morning when he left his hotel, explaining that he wanted to go off on his own for half an hour. He never returned. Father Bourgeois is a Mary Knoll priest, a religious order known for its work in Latin America. The Mary Knolls are also known for their social activism and have been accused of leftist sympathies by right-wing forces in El Salvador and other Latin American countries. Two of the four American churchwomen killed last December in El Salvador were Mary Knowles' sisters. There is evidence linking members of El Salvador's National Guard to their death. But El Salvador's President Duarte told CBS News that he doesn't think the military or the right was responsible for Bourgeois' disappearance. Duarte ordered a lookout for Father Bourgeois yesterday. The priest's photograph was also widely circulated. But almost 48 hours after he disappeared, there is no trace of Father Bourgeois. Charles Krauss, CBS News, San Salvador.
West Germany's Chancellor Helmut Schmidt is in Saudi Arabia on a state visit. Talks with Saudi officials reportedly focus on economic cooperation, not Saudi desires to buy German-made weapons.
Israel sends Syria a clear warning to stop its offensive against Lebanese Christians. Bruno Wassertile reports that a government statement issued this morning in Jerusalem repeats the position that Israel will not tolerate what it calls Syria's attempts to conquer Lebanon and liquidate the Christians. He says there's a feeling in Israel that a Syrian-Israeli military confrontation may be in the offing. This morning, Israeli jets shot down a Syrian helicopter in Lebanon. Belfast is quiet but very tense as an Irish Republican hunger striker in May's prison gets weaker. Martha Teichner reports.
Day 59 of the hunger strike. IRA member Bobby Sands is said to be in serious condition. His supporters are making a final appeal to the British government in London today to grant Sands' demands and save his life. In anticipation of trouble, in London, police have padlocked Downing Street, where Prime Minister Margaret Thatcher lives. In Belfast, spokesmen for the H-Block committees, the groups representing Bobby Sands and the other IRA members in the Mays prison, say that more than 20 of their leading members have been arrested. The arrests were made under what is called the Prevention of Terrorism Act. The men can apparently be held in jail for 7 days without being charged. The H-Block committees expect more arrests as Bobby Sands gets closer to death. Although Northern Ireland is relatively calm, tension seems to be building here, with scattered incidents of violence. There is some fear of rioting today in Londonderry in connection with the funeral of a 15-year-old boy who died after being hit in the head with a plastic bullet fired by security forces last week. Martha Teichner, CBS News, Belfast.
The exiled Cambodian leader, Prince Norodom Sihanouk, said today in Peking that he's asked U.S. officials for weapons to help fight the Vietnamese who invaded his homeland. Sources say the American answer was noncommittal, but that no doors were closed. 2 o'clock this afternoon in Boston looms on the city's bleak fiscal horizon. A court-ordered deadline for city officials to stop their political feuding and do something to replenish school system coffers. Jack Harper of CBS station WEEI has details.
Other deadlines have come and gone, but for Boston Public Schools, this is really it. As of this afternoon, the last pennies will be spent. Through the weeks of arguing, the City Council and Mayor Kevin White have failed to reach an agreement on a plan to provide money to complete the school year. Ted Thomas of the Citywide Parents Advisory Council says students are trapped in a bankrupt system because of inaction on the part of the council and Mayor White.
These kids are stuck there, and they'll stay there, and they have very few defenders now. And clearly, Kevin White and certain members of the city council have not proved to be friends of public education.
It appears likely a Superior Court judge will this afternoon tell Boston what it must do to keep open the schools, but those orders may be appealed. After today, Boston will still be 37 days short of the required 180-day school year. Jack Harper for CBS News, Boston.
The space shuttle Columbia, perched atop a Boeing 747 jumbo jet, has left Oklahoma on the final leg of its long trip home to Florida, Cape Canaveral, and the next orbital mission scheduled for next fall. Earthquakes, albeit small ones, are continuing to jiggle California's Imperial Valley. Swarms of them. Seismologists say they're hitting at the rate of about one every 20 minutes. Nothing major, certainly not nearly as strong as the quake which caused about $1 million damage there on Sunday. Still, they're enough to keep everyone on their toes. The U.S. dollar opened strong in Europe this morning, strengthened, say analysts, by high interest rates in the United States. Gold prices were mixed. The Zurich opening, $483.50 an ounce, off $6 from yesterday's close. In London, the morning fixing was $484.25, up just 50 cents from trading there late yesterday. London silver is quoted at $11.22.5, up just a couple of pennies.